That's enough. Normal view.
Normal view. Normal view. Normal view. Normal view.
Hello and welcome to the Normal View Podcast. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Niall.
And today we're talking about a comedian and actor and dude who writes comedy.
With the best comedy name that you could ever have, Bob.
Yes. Bob. What about Bob?
Oh, yeah. That's a movie. I forgot.
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk. He's a good guy.
I feel like we should clap every time we say a name. Like, there should be like a applause. Like,
yes. No, he's been in a ton of stuff. And he's like, you know, like, he's also just been in the comedy scene for like ever.
Yeah, which was something I was introduced to Bob Odenkirk through Breaking Bad. He was he played the lawyer. We'll talk more about that, but
yeah,
he played the lawyer and I was like, oh, he's kind of got like, I kind of like the way he plays that. And then I saw him more, and then he had a spinoff series with Better Call Saul, which we'll talk about especially more for me. And yeah. then you kind of were like, you know, he's like a comedian. I was like,
yeah, he's
wait,
done
really?
Comedy for like years, yeah.
Which so. Now that looking at it, you can definitely tell. I think every comedian is, maybe not always, but it, usually they have a pretty good idea on how to act, because once you get comedy down, you can pretty much do anything.
Well, yeah, and it's like, you know, people don't think about like, you know, ooh, they're like funny or whatever. It's like, you know, they don't think they can do drama. But then when you have like some kind of dramatic person like does comedy, it's like, oh, wow, it's so neat. It's so good. And you know, I can't believe they did that. It's like, no, it's kind of the other way around, because most comedians kind of have a dark inner.
Comedian is sad in some way that they had to try to make other people laugh to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, no one does this because they're happy.
Yeah,
you know? No,
I've never like, met a happy. Yeah, it's like there's that one TikTok. I ain't see two pretty best friends. It's like, I never seen a happy comedian.
Yeah, no, it's just like, well, yeah, and that's like part of the reason why it's like, you know what? I need to make some endorphins and, you know, serotonin in my brain.
I need to
feel
alive.
If I can get a group of people to laugh at me, you know?
Yeah, and not to call you out, because I know you do stand-up comedy.
No, yeah, it's fine,
but,
yeah. It's,
but you know what? You take meds and it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's just like, that's kind of the reason that I do stand-up. It's like, hey, I can be happy for a little while. It's cool.
Yeah, and comedy especially. No, I think that's one of the... Yeah, if you have comedy down, you have everything else down, because anyone can act in love, anyone can act scared, anyone can be brave, but making someone laugh that you don't know, that's a special skill.
Well, yeah, and that's the ability to get a scene to work, is you need people to be able to believe you, and there's no way you can make someone believe you on something serious if you can't make them believe you in something ridiculous.
And like, yeah, and sometimes I've noticed too, I think it's almost a harsher criteria to make someone laugh, because it's even, I've heard like a comedian tell the same joke at, like, you know, if it was at a different venue or like different recording versions of it, and it gets a different response by the way he tells it.
Oh yeah, and it's, you could say the same joke the same way, like several different times, and it just depends on the crowd. You got to actually read the room and see what it is. And if you can't do that, you can't really make decisions when you're acting either. Like,
yeah, but so, yeah, now he was a comedy writer first, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah. No, he wrote for The Simpsons, and I believe he also wrote on SNL for a little bit, too.
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I introduced you to his HBO comedy show, Mr. Show with Bob and David. So
yeah, I like David. I like Bob better. That's just personal opinion.
Yeah.
But it's funny because technically I've seen Dave in way more stuff than I've seen Bob.
Yeah. Oh yeah, David Cross has been in a ton of things. He's even like been opposite the Chipmunks.
I think with Bob, I think it's a blessing and a curse. I think he has a certain style that he just kind of looks like he plays a lawyer. Like,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, when you saw, when I saw him in Better Call Saul, it's like, oh yeah, that's just him. Bob Odenkirk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even in Mr. Show, like he shows up in a full suit.
Yeah, I mean, that makes that's perfect sense. But I think with Dave that I've noticed is that he can do a little bit more of a, I mean, again, a personal opinion. I think he does more of a fuller range of, he can be the wacky guy. And I think Bob definitely is hilarious and is the wacky guy, but he does it with a suit on.
Well, yeah, and that's the I think what is great about his kind of comedy is like, it's this person who seems like they're an authority and like, you know, somebody who should be respected that is just saying ridiculous things. Like,
yeah, so far the favorite sketch that I saw was, I haven't seen a lot of those yet, but was the one where he needed change.
Oh yeah, no, it's just like, can I get change for a dollar?
He's like,
quarters mostly.
Yeah, like, and he's like, change.
Change.
I don't. Let me go. I'm gonna go ask. You know, and then
Oh, you laugh so hard with the like. He walks off screen, and then he comes back. It's like, what do you say? It's like, I went the wrong way.
It throws you off so much. Because he's like, oh, let me go ask. And he goes to the room. There's a kind of walks for him, but goes to his other room. It takes like a couple seconds and then comes out. He's like, oh, that's what he's like. I went the wrong way. But he doesn't stop. He like goes back, keeps walking the other direction. I went the wrong way. And it was funny.
I'm going to see if I can find that audio and put it in here just because it's just like.
Yeah, insert here if it happens. Yeah.
Huh? Exactly.
Anyway, but then he goes to the manager and then he's like, hey, this guy out there wants change, mostly quarters.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. You know, because he was like, what do you want? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And he like takes it seriously. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I yelled at you. Like, you know, he's like,
Oh, yeah. And it keeps escalating. So like his manager.
Yeah. He's like, I gotta call the let me call the regional. And then regional is like, what do you want? Hey, I got a guy in this Michigan store or whatever store it was.
Yeah, it's just like.
And he's like, he wants change, mostly quarters. And he's like, ooh, man, yeah, I was just about to head out. Cancel my calls.
Oh, yeah. And then it goes up to the next guy who's like on a golf course. It's like, yeah, there's a guy in that store.
Yeah, it ends up being I think the CEO. And it's his office, and it's the same guy, which is great.
Oh, it's just the thing he says, like, it's too late to fly out or fly back.
No, yeah. He's like, this better be damn important. And he's like, I'm sorry. I yelled at you. And then he's like, this is obviously important. He's like, he looks at his watch like, oh, it's too late to fly back there. Let me ask one more. Because didn't he ask one more?
Yeah, they call the president of the United States.
Call the president. Yes. He's like, I'm going to have to get the president on this. And the president was like, no. And that's it.
And it just cuts back through everybody. No.
All right, no.
And then it just gets back
It goes back to the employee.
Like, just standing at the register. It's like, no.
He said no.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. And he just leaves.
It's just like this whole escalation. Like, yeah, that's kind of like
great.
The epitome of Bob Odenkirk's kind of comedy where it's like, huge and ridiculous, but I think we lost connection. Oh, no. Hey, here we go.
You're going to have to cut that out.
It's fine. It's kind of the epitome of his comedy where it's this huge, ridiculous thing, but it's just like they make it serious and whatever, but it's just like, no.
No.
It's just for a simple answer.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect example of what the comedy is.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't know about the show, which kind of threw me off in the very beginning, was that you don't stop. It like transitions from each skit to the next one.
Yeah, no, it keeps going. It's a train ride. It's you don't have really a set punchline or anything like that. It just flows into the next sketch.
Which is kind of
nice. Like Monty Python-esque like that, but it's just like.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun to see how it goes from like, because you know it's going to be the very end. It's like, okay, so how are they going to take it from there? And then they do, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, no, it's just. Yeah, or like they just transition to like a TV ad or like, you know, something. Or it'll be a scene where a family's talking and then the TV has like, has this ever happened to you? And then it goes into the next thing.
I really liked it. It was cool.
Yeah.
And
it, you can watch like an entire season of that show without noticing that you've watched an entire season.
Yeah, because is each episode a half hour? Is it 15 minutes?
Yeah, it's a half hour.
Oh, half hour. Yeah, it feels like
15 minutes, but yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Because there's no stopping. There's no like, you know, this is the sketch kind of thing.
Yeah, and you realize too, him in that show, he's the same age as you now. And you're just like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things where it's like, huh. Well, when Bob Odenkirk was 33, he had a TV show on HBO. What do you guys?
No, but...
No, yeah.
And then a very young Jack Black, which was I didn't expect to see. Oh,
yeah, no, he was... Yeah, he was just, like, the side player. And then, like, yeah, Paul F. Tompkins without a mustache. Just
Oh, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Tom Kenny is in it, too, the voice of SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah, no, and he's, like... That was before Tom Kenny was really a big... voice actor too, so it's just
yeah,
like,
but you can tell that he has a good voice, he always
yeah
did.
Oh yeah, it's I always thought he was good as a physical comedian too, like, you know, he okay was just like he did crazy voices, but he like he emotes and he has like, you know,
yeah,
he can do things where he actually looks funny, you know,
he looks how he sounds.
Yeah. My favorite thing with Tom Kenny on that though has got to be when they're talking about the founding fathers making the flag,
oh yeah,
in such a way where no one could poop on it. It's like
that's
you know,
the
I
whole
guess,
premise.
Yeah, but then Tom Kenny is playing Abraham Lincoln as one of the founding fathers, and he's got like this, you know, gangster New York accent. Like,
yeah,
hey, what you talking about?
Yeah, like, and but that was a transition too, because the beginning. Skit, the guy was doing poetry and he's like slam poetry and he's like, then I'm gonna poop on the flag, and then he can't, and then he realized, and then he then it transitions to him suing because
yes
because the cut, then there's speculation was that the colors on the flag make it, because they got a heart historian or history historian to tell him that the colors on the flag were made so you couldn't poop on it, and then it yes transitions to where they're all talking about the colors for the flag.
Yeah, no, it's just like George Washington and Ben Franklin. It's like, well, I think if we could just make the flag out of poop, it's like, yeah, if we make it out of poop, who's going to salute a poop flag? You know, it's
yeah,
just like,
that was the whole thing. And then Tom Kenny's character's like, all right, look, it's got stars, it's got stripes. Go ahead, try. And they all try and they can't.
Yeah. And also, Lincoln wasn't even born yet during that, but it's just
I don't
like,
think they were worried.
Yeah, no, but just like him as like a New York mobster kind of guy, it made me laugh so hard.
Yeah. I think the big, well, at least that I'm aware of, the big major role for him was Better or no, Breaking Bad, right? Or was it something
yeah
else?
Yeah, it was. That was actually kind of his big dramatic break, was, you know, as Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad. And much like Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad, he wasn't supposed to be around that long.
Oh, really?
He was supposed to be kind of like a one and done kind of thing. Like, you
which
know,
I could see it because the lawyer could have just been, yeah, a quick character that he's kind of there maybe one every 10 episodes or something. Or...
Oh, yeah. No, he's just like, he's there to launder the money, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just like, Bob Odenkirk is such a good actor. It just turned into like, yeah, we got to keep Saul. Yeah.
Yeah, no, from watching the difference between, we'll talk about Better Call Saul in a second, but from watching yeah Breaking Bad to watching Better Call Saul, I like personally Better Call Saul a lot better, and I now that I've seen both, I think Breaking Bad, I don't like the main characters anymore. I mean, Jesse Pinkman's okay, but I yeah don't like Bryan Cranston's character, Walter White.
You don't like the Walter White?
Yeah. No, because now to me, it seems like, yeah, he knew how to make meth and he was good at it or whatever, but he just seemed so hot-headed and didn't understand that there was like, you respect other people's places and like, it wasn't just all yeah about him.
No, it was.
And everybody else did that except for him, and that caused people to die, and people that have been doing it for like decades all of a sudden have to deal with this one rogue guy. And I was like, so annoyed.
Oh, yeah. No, and you're like, you know, that's in fact what you've called yourself on this call that we're doing the podcast on, was Mike deserved better.
He deserved like, so much better. I'm going to, yeah. I got
spoilers
mad.
Spoilers for Breaking Bad.
Yeah, spoilers for Breaking Bad. Mike dies. Walter White shoots him because he's stupid. But because at first, if you don't know Mike's character, it's a little bit, you know, he's the one that's guarding the security for what's his face? Gustavo.
Yeah, Walton. Yeah.
Yeah, for Gustavo.
Sir Gus Fring, yeah.
But you can tell he looks like, you know, he's not the normal security. He seems like he's really knowledgeable and he's kind of wise. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And then, and you know, when he does get killed, you're like, oh, that sucks, whatever. But then when you watch Better Call Saul and you get his whole backstory.
Oh, yeah.
I was so upset that that's how that great man died. Like, to
yeah,
me.
No, and it's just like, yeah, because you get like, you know, Mike was a police officer that was trying to show corruption in his, you know, precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets set up and he has to take the fall for it, and it's turns him into basically an outlaw.
Yeah, and then, you know, his son in Better Call Saul, you know, his son dies because he wasn't bad, but then he did one corrupt thing, I think. And then so he's taking care of his granddaughter and his daughter-in-law, or trying to help support, like, a babysit and stuff. And yeah. He's the most careful man. Like, when he thought he had a bug in the car, he ripped apart the car in such a way.
Yeah.
And just to get shot in the back by some sleazy meth maker was so disappointing for me.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you say some sleazy meth maker, the main character of the show, Breaking Bad.
I know. I'm like, some guy.
Some guy.
But to him, it was just some guy.
Well, yeah.
You know.
excuse me.
Excuse you.
The character of Saul Goodman, mm-hmm. as we find out in Better Call Saul, Jimmy McGill, like...
Yeah, James
he's
McGill.
He's got a crazy, like... He tries to make something of himself. He goes and gets his like law degree.
Yeah, and he actually does it. It wasn't like, oh, he cheated his way. His brother was a lawyer as well on a top. It was McGill and Associates.
McGill and Associates.
So that was his brother. But so he had a past of just being, yeah, he stole and did that. But he wanted to show him that he changed. And I think at that point he did change.
Oh yeah, no, he was a con man for years, but then like he's gonna change, he's gonna try and be for the better. So he gets his law degree, passes the bar, does the, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then it goes from he works at the bottom. He asks his brother, like, hey, I am a licensed lawyer now. Can you, like, you know, but makes him do all the grunt work. And his brother, mm-hmm. I think I understand because I've had situations before like that where this person has done so much wrong, it's hard to see it any differently. But it was kind of, I think it was a negative nepotism where he knew him for too long and he couldn't see the good that he did.
Well, yeah. And it's just, it's like when you have somebody that you've known forever and ever and ever, and there's just always been the cycle of lying and cheating and whatever else. It's like you can't really trust them,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time you need to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, otherwise how are they going to grow, you know?
Yeah, and so he could never see him as the person that wasn't the con man. And well, yeah. I think obviously at the end of the day his choice is his choice, but I think his brother's result made him back. So he's like, fine, if you think I'm this person, I'm just going to go back to that because apparently that's all I can do.
Yeah. And, I mean, at least from the seasons that I've seen of Better Call Saul, I haven't mm-hmm. seen.
Oh, yeah, I'm all up to date. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not up to date yet, but just he actually tries to get the class action for all the, nursing home residents that are being overcharged and everything. He actually cares and he's trying to help these people. Yeah.
Yeah. And they won. And
yeah.
And he's still, it just wasn't good enough for his brother. And that was the turning. And then, yeah, he still was tempted to do stuff. And he had situations where he's like, well, all right, I already have a lawyer degree. I might as well use it. And
yeah,
I know how to talk, be a con man, which is almost a little bit like a lawyer anyway.
Well, yeah, it's, and I love when he's doing the whole like public defender thing where he's like, you know, I'll defend these guys and they get paid, you know, it's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like the beginning episode of that. It's like, I'm like getting a third of what I should be getting here. It's like, you know, I had three clients. I should be getting this much. It's like, no, it's per case. He's like,
yeah, it's per, yeah. Oh yeah. It was, yeah, it's, oh yeah. Cause the very first one was three kids that like cut off the head of a dead guy at a mortuary that they broke into. And so before they showed the video of it, he was like,
and it's like
people in his youth, and it was a good, like he did a good case.
Yeah, he gave an impassioned speech like, you know, we've all been young, we've all been idiots. You know, they've said that they never going to do this again. They've learned their lesson. That
and he's like,
thing.
Ha, 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 you know, wagged his finger at him, at the boys. And then
you guys.
And all the other lawyer does is roll the TV to the jury and puts the videotape and just sits down. And then it's just the guys being awful and cutting off a dead body and held up the head. And then, of course, he didn't win.
Yeah, no, it's just like,
yeah.
No matter how you argue that, when you have video footage of them doing something horrible, it's kind of hard to sway a jury.
Yeah, and then we even see his evolution as a lawyer. He does get better.
Oh, yeah.
And even what I really enjoyed about that show is the very first episode of each new season, there's like a 10-minute flash forward to where he's at now, which is like even past all the Breaking Bad stuff.
Well, yeah, because he had to go into hiding because of the Breaking Bad stuff.
And he works at a Cinnabon.
Yeah. No, he's Gene, the manager of Cinnabon.
Yeah. And there's really great moments where he had where a guy's just looking at him. The very first one where a guy's looking at him while he's working and he's really staring at him. And he's like ready to like, oh, man, I have to call that guy again. I have to, you know.
Yeah, I got to get out of here.
And then he just gets up, starts walking towards him, and then past him, and he saw someone else that was right behind him that he was talking to. And it's like, oh, man, what a show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is a good show. And that is, like, it just shows the range of Bob Odenkirk. He can do, like, you know, like, silly, funny, all this kind of stuff, but then he can go into, like, deep, serious, you care about the character, you know?
Yeah, and then... And even he's been doing voice work where he was basically Saul Goodman as a rich guy in Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that was good. And then you were talking about the Amazon show. What was that?
Oh, yeah. The Amazon show, which is called Undone. I believe the first season released in 2019. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a story. What kind of animation? What would you say how it was?
It's rotoscope. So basically they film the people doing the dialogue and then they animate over the filming.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that looks neat.
Oh yeah. No, it's really cool that, and then there's also a movie called in the Scanner Darkly where it's Keanu Reeves done in that same style. That's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the story is where a girl gets hit by a car. Her dad's been gone for at least a year or more. She gets hit by a car, but when she comes to, her dad's there sitting there. And then that is very spoilery for some stuff. I can't even talk about some premises, but she learns that she can control time or move time around.
Well, and from what I saw from the ad, like, can she truly move time around, or is she having hallucinations? Is this like,
And then that's a little more on the spoiler side too. So that's why it's like, but it's really good. And it's one of those, like, it's not just a fun watch. You kind of have to watch it.
Uh-huh.
But that was another show where it was just him being where he was playing a dad, but a scientist dad. And that was really cool.
Well, and he was playing a believable dad, too. That's like, you know, there's some people who it's like, you know, you get the Disney Channel dads where it's like, I'm a wacky dad, you know, and then
he's like, I'm an alcoholic behind scenes.
And yes. Like,
exactly. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Now, that sounds like a Mr. Show sketch. Like, you see me on television as the wacky dad, but behind the scenes, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah. struggling alcoholic.
Like, yes.
But the last thing I think we're both really excited for is the movie coming out with him.
Yeah, the movie Nobody looks really good.
I'm super stoked. I was surprised. I was like, is it just John Wick but with Saul Goodman?
Even if it is just John Wick with Saul Goodman, we did an entire podcast on the John Wick series.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it. My first run of the trailer, I thought it was... he was actually just a dude, and the fact that everyone kept hounding him on, like, wow, why didn't you do anything when someone broke into his house? that triggered him to be someone else. But no, he was someone else in a past life.
Yeah, no, it's basically, so what if John Wick went way too far with his retirement, like where he became super pacifist?
Yeah.
Like where he's like not even, like somebody breaks into his house, he doesn't even like try to stop them, you know?
Yeah.
But as we see from the trailer, maybe there's a reason, because he's like really, really bad. Like he says he's like, he was an auditor. So it's like, you saw me, you never saw anybody else. Like, it's...
Yeah, and I was like, yeah. and even the police after was like, who are you? I'm nobody. And you're like, ha.
Yeah.
The one...
And I love the part where he's like putting his family in the panic room. He's like, don't call the cops.
It's like, okay. Yeah. He's about to fight now.
Yeah.
And then also good for him, because he had to do that's a more physical role.
Oh yeah, and it's, you know, he probably did like the Marvel superhero, like we're doing a billion push-ups and sit-ups and every day I wake up and lift weights kind of thing.
I wonder if that's a little bit of when actors have to do where it's a movie role where it's, yeah, they need to be beefy or they need to have where they can run a lot and stuff, and you know they do that training for so long. And because you always hear, oh, because also you think, how long does it take to make a movie? Because it's like, oh, we trained for 6 months. It's like, and that's before the movie started.
Yeah.
And then, but my thing with that too is that, so they do all that and it's over with. It's like, how do you go back from training every day and being that to just, all right, we're done now. You're just like, oh.
Well, it depends on the person. Like, I know if I had to work super hard and get like, go from Chris Pratt, Parks and Rec to Chris Pratt Guardians of the Galaxy, like, yeah, I could turn back into Chris Pratt Parks and Rec pretty fast.
Yeah, I think you'd have to try to maintain it, not to that crazy level, but somewhat, so that way it's not as hard for you.
Well, yeah, and you want to be at least, you know, healthy. But
yeah, like, you don't want to, like, Christian Bale, like, I'll gain 40 pounds for Vice or whatever.
Well, yeah, and it's, or like, the crazy one, I think, was him, the Machinist, because he's like playing someone who is an insomniac and having issues. All he ate was apples and cigarettes. Like, it's...
Yeah, I do like that Gary Oldman one day was just like, dude, they have CGI now. Just let it go. you know?
Yeah, it's just... Yeah.
Like, just...
Well, then, of course, Gary Oldman also played, like, you know, Sirius Black, so he turned into a wolf.
Oh man, what a movie.
They got CGI.
But with nobody, the only one, not flaw, it's just critique, was that I get why they picked the song, because it has nobody in it, but it's such an interesting choice for that trailer.
Yeah, and it's very stylized in the trailer too, because it's like, you
know. And the song is Just a Gigolo by Louis Prima, which is like a 1940s-ish jazz swing person, but it's just
I ain't got nobody.
Yeah, and it's weird when it's always interesting when they take classic songs and they do that modern, like they add that modernness to it.
Well, yeah, I think the best example I think for me was when the G.I. Joe movie used Seven Nation Army.
Yeah, that threw like, me off, like, so hard. I'm like, did Jack White sign off on that? He must have.
Well, yeah, and it was actually, I think it was a cover done by like some electro band, you know?
Yeah, it's just funky when it's like a totally different type of song, or if you know the artist and you know what that song meant to them, and then you see it kind of in a different way, you're just like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, I totally get it. Like, you know, they turned it into like action movie cliche, dum dum, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it was weird. But yeah, it looks really good, and I am really happy to see Bob Odenkirk be an action star.
Yeah, and they actually pushed the release 1 week earlier, so it's coming out March 26th.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be April something.
They pushed it.
Take a look. Oh,
they announced it, I think, either today. They pushed it back a week earlier.
Oh, wow.
So you get to see it earlier. I don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Because right now I think it's the only theater release at the moment.
So far, okay.
And I'm not the person that, oh, I would prefer to watch movies at home. I very much prefer to watch movies at the theater, but my...
As someone who worked in a movie theater.
Yeah, my state says no.
Oh, there's a thing on here that says California notice.
Oh, is it anything good?
Let me take a look. It's just a privacy policy thing.
Oh, sorry. We're still in the purple tier.
Yeah, in theaters only, March 26.
I can eat outside as long as they made it outside on the inside for the outside. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the movie Nobody isn't, and I'm really looking forward to it when I can see it one day.
Well, yeah, and that has been our kind of roundabout way of talking about Bob Odenkirk.
I really like him.
We went all over the place. Yeah. We talked a lot about the things he was in, so there's that. That counts.
Yeah. That counts. Who cares? I really like him. I think he's a great actor. I think I like his sound of his voice. I like the way he speaks and carries himself. So watch more Bob Odenkirk stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. On HBO Max, you can watch Mr. Show with Bob and David. You can watch With Bob and David on Netflix. And you can watch Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which you should.
You should, definitely.
You should, too. You need to finish your Better Call Saul.
Well, yeah. And he also did a sketch show on IFC called The Birthday Boys. Hmm. He was the executive producer and in several episodes. It was hilarious.
Oh, cool.
Well, anyway, I guess until next time, I've been Cliff.
And I've been loudly Niall.
Normal view.
Normal view.
That's enough. Normal view.